Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Yes, we are excited to contribute and play with you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Imperfect Brilliance. I am your host, Betsy McLaughlin, and I have the pleasure of welcoming Mary Case to the show today. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be on.
Yay! And we're going to talk today about the gift of being different. And that's quite an interesting conversation to have, and certainly when I first started having these conversations, it opened my eyes to so many things that either I hadn't been exposed to much or I hadn't asked questions or looked at things differently. And so what do you guys have, talents and abilities that you're not acknowledging? And my guess is probably yes to that question. And myself included in that, I'm like, I wonder what I still haven't acknowledged. And do you maybe function in a different way than a lot of people? Whatever you're doing, whether it's in the workplace, you know, the at home, school system, did you try to fit in? And a lot of times would feel like maybe you were square peg trying to go into a round hole, you know, that game that children play with. It's my son loved that game, by the way. He would sit there with the shapes and put the shapes in the different things. He just loved that. Anyhow, that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to explore the gift of being different. And we're also going to bring into this conversation labels, and maybe you know somebody who's had the label of ADD, ADHD, OCD, autism, and there's so many labels that people have placed upon themselves. That's what we're going to be exploring in today's conversation. Here's a little tidbit about Mary. She's got a lot of talents, including she's a professional violinist. She recently retired from a career of being a school music teacher. She's a mom. She's a wife. She's also a triathlete, which I think is so cool. I love seeing the pictures of you, whether you're in the water, swimming, you know, working out or competing, or on your bike or running. I mean, kudos to you for all of that. That's just amazing. And it was Mary's interest in teaching, especially those often labeled as different, that led her to discovering what it was for her and becoming a certified facilitator with Access Consciousness, which is how we met. We actually met at a class and had a great time, had some wonderful conversations. I think that class was that in Houston. I think that's where we met. Anyhow, and she also is now an X-Men intro facilitator, and we will talk about what in the world that is. What is it? What does that all of this mean? And Mary, you can find Mary if you're looking for more information on her at www.marycaseenergetics.com. And I'm really looking forward to having this conversation. And then a little bit about me. I a lot of times forget to do this part because I'm so excited about the conversation. I have a variety of things in my background, as Mary does. I've had a store. I'm a realtor. I was a corporate manager, administrator. So I have a lot of different things that I've done. And we're both business and wealth coaches. I'm a best-selling author of quite a few books. We're life coaches. And in all of that, Mary, I wonder, and my website, let me say that piece, is creatingyumminess.com. And Mary, if anybody wants to email you, how would they do that? What is your email address?
Oh, for info at meetmarycase.com.
Info at meetmarycase.com. Wonderful. And mine is accessbetsy@gmail.com. And you guys can find us on Facebook and where else? Oh, goodness. I'm totally having a brain fart. Sorry. Accessconsciousness.com website. And also through the Ohm Times Radio. Many, many ways to find us. So, Mary, thank you again for having this conversation. How did you get interested in working with people that have been labeled as different?
Oh, that makes me smile. A long mm-hmm. teaching career, 37 years in the school system, and mm-hmm. really I have always worked with kids, adults too, but right now looking at the kids that are different. I mean, they have a way of finding their ways into the music rooms, into my music room specifically. It's like that was always a safe space. So it was like I always found the kids that were different and welcomed the kids that were different and never really, but never saw them as different.
Right. And that must have been such an invitation to kids, because that is one thing that is, and people of all ages, really, when that is projected at you that you're different, one of the things that I know is you go to making yourself wrong or less than. And so having a welcoming environment and having them come into a music room must have been such a breath of fresh air for them.
Well, I think for some kids, this was the only time they experienced a space of no judgment.
Mm.
Like, that is something that we aren't really shown, not often shown by our parents or by our teachers or really by anyone. So mm-hmm. being allowed to be different and being in the presence of someone who has no judgment about that difference or how it shows up or what it looks like, that in itself is like such a gift. So it's that willingness to let go of judgment.
Sorry. Yes, it is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful gift that we can give anybody. And that is often, you know, I talked at the beginning about, you know, trying to force yourself to be, you know, fitting into something that you're not, and how much judgment is around that piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, all of that fitting in comes from judgment. It comes from projections and expectations. So mm-hmm. other people are expecting us to behave a certain way, look a certain way. And when we don't fit into that mold, then sometimes the easiest thing is, okay, well, let's put a label there, or let's compartmentalize what that is. Defaulting to that instead of a willingness to say, hey, like, what is really going on here? What is the gift? You know, for me, every time I saw someone, maybe someone else saw them as different, for me, I have always seen as like wow, there's a gift here. It may not be acknowledged yet. We may not quite, you know, be able to see how it's showing up yet. But there's always some kind of gift. And especially under when we're using labels, if we're using labels ADD, ADHD, OCD, autism spectrum, it's like, wow, like what is underneath all of that that we're not willing to see?
You know, and so this sounds like a good time to me to actually talk a little bit about X-Men. And for anybody listening who might not know what that is, could you give us a little summary of that and what that specialty is within within Access Consciousness?
Sure. In Access Consciousness, we recognized that different is not wrong. And there was kind of looking like, what name could we use for this? And if you know from Marvel comics, the X-Men in the comics are the ones that are very different. Mm-hmm. And every one of the X-Men has a different talent, capacity, and ability. And every one of the X-Men usually makes himself wrong, is afraid of what their capacity might be, you know, wants to hide in a phone booth or however it might show up.
Right.
And so we said, okay, we're going to coin this term X-Men to those that in this reality might be labeled ADD, ADHD, OCD, autism, just about everything in between there as well, or not labeled. We also started to realize that really all of us are somewhere on that spectrum. And when I first started learning about X-Men with Access Consciousness, I was thinking, okay, I would like some professional development. I would like to be a better teacher. And I was only looking at it from the point of view of, you know, what can this contribute to teaching? And then all of a sudden, one day, it was like an aha moment. It's like, I actually think I'm one of those. One of those X-Men. And I didn't see it. And then every area of my life, I looked backwards on my entire life, you know, be it the messy room or being scattered or disorganized or whatever it was that I was judged for and made wrong for my entire life. I started to look at that. I thought, wow, there are like amazing capacities here. And that's the X-Men.
Yes. And that there's a saying when I first heard it, I was like, oh, wow, that's such a great question. Is what if everything you've made wrong about yourself is actually your strongness? And that fits in so beautifully with the explanation you gave of the X-Men. And you think about those movies where they've done everything they can to hide it, to make themselves small or not seen, and yet when they're actually encouraged to unleash their capacities and learn how to use them to their advantage as opposed to maybe their disadvantage, then all these amazing things start showing up for them. And so I wonder for everybody listening, where have you made yourself, you know, this wrongness, what and how many different wrongnesses do you perhaps have that are actually your strongness?
Well, I always like to look at how if someone followed me around for a day, they would definitely say this woman is, this girl, whatever, is ADHD, attention deficit hyper disorder. You know, because I'm in 1,000 places at a time. I'm moving. I have projects all the time. I'm here. I'm there. I'm moving around all the time. And that was what, when I was in the school system, made me an amazing teacher. So I was always in movement, and it was that awareness. See, an X-Men has this capacity, it's like an exponential sense of awareness, you know, to be aware of whatever's going around in one corner of the room and the other corner of the room. And this is what allowed me to have rehearsals. I could have 120 kids and instruments, violins, violas, cellos, basses, in a music room or a gym, getting ready for a concert, and I could be aware of every corner of the room, like someone's instrument's out of tune, someone else has had a bad morning, and then I could pull all of those kids kind of into being present. If I wasn't ADHD, extreme. I would not be able to do that.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I've been made wrong for the ADHD-ness of me, and it requires that in order to be able to do what I was doing in the classroom and what I was doing with large rehearsals with kids.
Mm. You know, and that's such an interesting thing where one of the capacities that I have is I can hear a whole bunch of different conversations all at once. Like there could be 20 people in the room and, you know, they're having 10 different conversations and I can hear them all. And I'm like, how do I have that capacity? I don't know, but it's something that I now like enjoy playing with. It's like, gee, I wonder how much more do I actually know here, and being willing to play with that as opposed to like, oh, I'm not supposed to, or this is wrong or whatever. It's just, it's an interesting thing. And I'm like, I don't know why I have it, but I can do it.
And that's a great question, what you were alluding to, like, how can I use this to my advantage?
Mm-hmm.
So how can you use ADD to your advantage, or how can you use the capacity to hear 25 conversations at once? What can you create with that? That's a capacity. Yeah. You know, you could make it wrong, or you can make it, you could see the brilliance of that.
Yeah, and that is, like, so you can make it wrong. I'm going to repeat that because it's like, yes, so you can make it wrong, or you can acknowledge the brilliance there. And then what else? The other piece to that, acknowledging the brilliance, and I know it's time for our first break, is when you acknowledge the brilliance, other things start showing up. All right, you guys, stay tuned for more of this really fun conversation on your amazing capacities and how can we turn it up even more with Mary Case today. Stay tuned, guys. We'll be back very soon.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
What is your strength? What are your talents and capacities? And what if being different is actually a gift? And I wonder for all the people listening to my wonderful conversation with Mary Case today, if you stopped believing what other people might be labeling you as, whatever that is, what that might contribute to you. And then as I was asking that question, this other question popped in, Mary, and that is for anybody who has had labels put on them, and they've either, you know, fought against the labels, or they've accepted the labels and say, you know, whatever they've been or done around those labels, what could you offer for them now that they could start incorporating in their lives?
Well, I would like to begin to say by saying that a label is not always a bad thing. So sometimes we decide, you know, it's really terrible to be labeled ADD or ADHD, OCD or autism spectrum. Sometimes actually, especially in the school system, being given that label or diagnosis, when I'm saying being given the label, so not choosing to actually be what that label is, but being given that label can contribute to you getting more support than you might possibly get if you didn't have that official label.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah, so I have seen, you know, in cases, for example, someone who's labeled ADHD might have resources available to them like a quiet space to write a test or a program called Drag and Speak to assist with writing. Those resources would not be available necessarily if they didn't have that label or diagnosis. So a label is not always wrong. So I just really wanted to clarify that, you know,
Thank you.
I don't want parents making themselves wrong because their kids have labels either. So the label itself, there's nothing wrong with the label itself. And
that's
then what do you do?
Point. Thank you.
Sorry, go ahead, Betsy.
That's a beautiful point, and I'm so glad you brought that into the conversation. Thank you.
You're
Continue.
Welcome. And then I was going to say, and then setting that aside, it's like, are you going to buy into being this label? So I've been told that I'm ADHD. Well, what is that? Like, what is OCD? What is autism spectrum? Like, that is such a vast continuum, right? And we're all kind of there somewhere on it. So what if we were just looking at how we're different? We're all different. Different. And what is it that we are different at that makes us, like, what is our capacity? And then how can we recognize that capacity, acknowledge that capacity, and then turn it into something greater?
Love that.
Yeah. Because we're going back to this thing of we constantly making ourselves wrong for difference, for being different, for looking at the world in a different way, for showing up in a different way. For chewing our fingernails, like whatever it is, we've been at the effect of judgment for so long, and the hardest people to judge are, we judge ourselves, right? We're even harder on ourselves than other people might be on us.
And so how did you navigate that in the whole school system of everything we've talked about so far?
Yeah, being a music teacher gives me a little bit more ease in navigating, you know, kids that might be labeled or have labels. There's always jobs to do. You know, if someone needs to be active, they need to be active. So can you run these errands for me? Can you run my library for me? Like finding a direction for that energy instead of trying to contain that energy, trying to say, okay, you have to sit still, you have to sit here. And it doesn't mean that you let, you know, these kids control your classroom, because you don't want to become a doormat, but you also want to recognize and have conversations. I found even having conversations with the kids was huge things. Like, this is what I need from you, and here's the signal. For me, this worked really well. Here's the signal. When it's too much for you, I teach violin, I want you to put your bow up in the air, and I know that you need to go for a little walk in the hall. And so we set up these little signs that worked for both of us. So it's just a willingness to recognize, okay, how can we work together? How can we make this work?
Right.
And it's not always easy. It's not always easy with you know, ADD, ADHD, OCD, autism spectrum in the classroom. That can be a really difficult time as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. And giving them some choice on how they can communicate with you, because we all communicate differently. And that's one thing that I wish I had learned in school, like that I learned differently. I was a very visual learner. So when somebody was just talking to me, I wasn't always getting what they were saying. I didn't know there were different ways to learn. I didn't know there were different ways you could communicate, right? And mm-hmm. so even having that piece of information would have been such a contribution to me. Be like, oh, okay, now I know, you know, like my husband and my son can both, like, they'll talk, we'll talk about, let's see, like moving furniture in the room, and they're like, da, 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 you just do it, and I'm like, would you guys mind please putting that on a piece of paper and drawing it out for me, because I don't get what you're saying, but at least, you know, now I know that I need to ask for it that way. And it's become actually this kind of joke in our family. It's like, okay, we got to draw this out for mom. It's like, I don't know what you're saying.
And about learning, like learning what works for you. And that is like a key point. And the adults on this phone call, you're getting, we're not just talking about kids. So it's like, what actually works for you?
Mm-hmm.
Not making yourself wrong. It's like, okay, you know, like the phone, like looking at a phone, it doesn't work the same way for me as someone else. I need to write something down and have it on a piece of paper. Well, I would make myself wrong for that.
Right.
Previously, it's like, no, that's just the way my brain is wired. That's what works for me. So instead of going into the wrongness, it's okay. This is what works for me.
Right. And that's so empowering too. You know, when you say this is what works for me, and it's not, it is that is, and it's not that you're unwilling to learn other things or try other ways, and you know what works for you.
Yeah, and not making yourself wrong or the other person wrong.
Right, exactly.
It's just like, it's just communicating what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so how do you empower people of all ages to start asking questions and have that be part of conversations that they have with people, of number one, learning what works for them, and then number two, conveying that to other people?
Yeah, there's a few tools. I call it like a little toolbox that you can use, and it's starting to understand, you know, how the brain works, for example, and how you mentioned the word communication. How someone who might be labeled ADD or ADHD or OCD or autism spectrum, how they communicate different. So sometimes the first step is just using a language to say to a parent or a child, do you realize that your first language is actually energy? And, you know, at first that might seem a little bit strange, but if you give I always give the example of a teacher's stare. Well, what is the teacher's stare? The teacher's stare, like, don't you dare do that, or don't mess around right now. There's no words involved. That is an energetic exchange. That's a communication there that occurs without any words coming out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So I start to show these tools to clients or parents or kids or whoever, family and friends. It's great for family, believe me. I start to say, do you realize that you're communicating in other ways other than words coming out of your mouth? That's one tool, which is just brilliant, starting to see that. And then also starting to get how aware you are. So with those labeled ADD, ADHD, autism spectrum, they're so aware. It's like they're psychic SpongeBobs. So they receive information, not just what's going on in their brain, but they're receiving other people's bad moods, other people's thoughts, without anyone actually talking to them or exchanging with them. And that can be really overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes me just teaching them that tool of you know, do you realize that's not yours? You're getting a lot of information here, and, you know, what, asking a question, what's it going to take for you to have more ease with that? You know, how can we support you? What's available here? Autism spectrum, you know, perfect example, put the headsets on, you know, to try to block out some of that sensory stimulation because it gets too much. There's too much information. It's coming from everywhere. That's what it's mm-hmm. like for some of us, even when we don't, you know, we're not labeled at all. It's like, too much information, help.
Yeah.
I'm getting, that's when you're getting the text and you're getting the subtext, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're getting information at all those levels at the same time. And sometimes that can be, you know, we say we're in a sense of overwhelm. It's because we're receiving all this information all the time. So yeah. What do we do with that?
And, you know, that is a beautiful question. It's like, what do we do with it? And when my son was in school, he liked to have the radio on and, you know, maybe have the TV on in the background as well. And when he was doing his homework, and I, you know, that wasn't the way I was been told it was supposed to be done. You're supposed to do it in a quiet environment. And I would try to force him to do that. And he said, Mom, he finally said to me one day, he's like, Mom, I need this. There's like, I need that extra stimulation and noise. It actually helps me concentrate. And I had always been told, you know, that you needed quiet. You had to have the quiet in order to concentrate and focus. And when I allowed him to have this other stuff going, actually, it was way easier for him. And it was such a mind-opening thing for me to be like, wow, you know, so, okay, if it just because it works for me this way doesn't mean that it's the same for him. And, you know, so I let go of that thing that I was trying to force him to do and be that I had always been told, you know, and you had to have the quiet environment and you had to do this and that and that and the other. And then when he spoke up, he was like, oh, I'm so glad you told me, because it doesn't make sense to me, but it doesn't have to make sense to me.
Well, and that's a beautiful example. And that's like, as a mom, being willing to listen, because the kids, mm-hmm. like, our kids know stuff and they know what works for them, but we don't always hear that.
Right.
And we have these points of view. And I was the same way, you know, teaching music for 37 years. It was like, took me 36 years to figure a couple things out. And one of the things I eventually figured out was I had already said, okay, you have to practice your violin in a quiet space, remove everything else, find a quiet corner, you know, like all of those things. And then I was, you know, X-Men were showing up really loud in my world. And I was, you know, I really had to listen to them because they were just like showing up more and more and more. And one day, like just out of frustration, I said, I'm just going to try this. I said, okay, here's the deal. I want you to put the TV on. I told the mom this in a parent-teacher interview. I want you to try this. Put the TV on. I want your computer over there. I want the TV on. I want your violin on a table beside you. And I want you to practice every 5 minutes while you're watching TV and have the computer on.
Wow.
Like, really? And not for everybody, but for two examples, like of the two examples where we tried this experiment, the results were incredible.
Wow.
And that was such a lesson for me, because I had definitely fixed points of view. So a lot of this mm-hmm. is also our willingness to let go of our fixed points of view about
yes.
how this works.
Oh, so true.
Yeah.
So true. And that's a really cool example of, it might not work for, you know, Joey, but it could work for Susie. And so what works for each individual person, and again, like getting out of the one-size-fits-all mentality that it's got to be this certain way. I get that it can be challenging, as you already described a little bit, you know, as a teacher, you know, in an environment where you're working with, you know, a lot of different personalities and you in one room. And, you know, so how do you navigate and with this next piece of this question, then Mary, you know, whether you're a teacher or, you know, you have people that are working for you or you're working with people, how do you navigate all of these different types of people, all the different personalities? How do you navigate all that?
Lots of chocolate. Lots of chocolate.
I love it.
I mean, navigation is not easy. Like being a teacher, it's not always ease, right? It's mm-hmm. It is a constant, okay, every minute of every day being in the question, like, what is required here now? And how am I going to navigate this? And sometimes it's that, you know, I need to leave the classroom with someone who's really having a difficult time and, you know, take them for a walk or send them to another space or put them with another, maybe team them up with another student. That often works really well. So you mm-hmm. also have to do like question, what's working here. You also have to be willing to ask for support, to receive support. Mm. It can be, you know, if you've got 30 kids in your classroom and you've got one or two that are really struggling, you know, with what we might label ADD, that can be difficult and disruptive to the other students in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So then everybody can get really frustrated. So it's a willingness to continue to ask questions, ask for support, find out what works, and always without making something wrong and always without judging.
Okay.
The key is the not judging. And as soon as you drop those judgments and stop making it wrong, then it's like this creates a space for asking questions. Like I got one of those big balls, you know, that you sit on or you bounce on.
Yeah.
And some of my students, I had a back corner where they were allowed to go back there and just like sit there or have a different space.
All right, second break time, you all. Hang tight. We'll be back very soon on Imperfect Brilliance. Thank you for listening.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going OM? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Imperfect Brilliance. We're having a wonderful conversation today with Mary Kay. And Mary, you gave a great example of some of the things that you incorporated into your classroom. So what if you are working in a, let's say, a corporate environment, and you've got some people with ADD, ADHD, and other people might be viewing them as distracting or disruptive, and you might not have, you know, the ball, the big ball they can go sit on in the back of the room.
I can just see it.
That would be fun. I was like, oh, my turn. But what else could people, you know, incorporate in that situation?
I love it. It's like my favorite line, how can I use this to my advantage? So you have someone in the corporate world and, you know, to someone like just looking at them, maybe it would appear that they're kind of bouncing off the walls, or they're not focused, or they won't look you in your eye. So that could be a distraction to someone at a boardroom table, for example, and you're having like a really important meeting. So part of that is just communication and a recognizing of different learning styles. So what is available, actual physical resources are available. So this is where we look at multimedia. Can also be really important. So whether it's tablets or I don't know the corporate world well enough to know what the multimedia would look like. Sometimes even like requiring a pen and paper, like this day and age, like who has a notepads and paper? But having that available in a boardroom when everybody's sitting around at a table and everybody has that, this person who might be made wrong or make themselves wrong has a place to doodle. You know, so it's the small things like that that can make a really big difference. It can be having, like, available in a boardroom, there's snacks or there's candies available. Sometimes with ADHD, we make it wrong that, you know, take sugar away. You shouldn't have to take sugar. It makes you hyper. Where, in fact, sometimes it can be a really huge contribution that can actually increase focus. So even having candies on the table. So, like, these sounds like really ridiculous and small things that can really make a big difference in any environment. And then the idea of, like, allowing colleagues to see the capacities so that they can see the whole picture of, you know, if someone appears to be different and you are the administrator or the director or the CEO or whatever that is, how can you make everyone else aware of the brilliance of, you know, of someone else that's in the room? You know, can you acknowledge that brilliance?
Yes, totally. And you brought up something that I would love to dive into a little bit more, and that is where some people cannot look you in the eye. It's just too intense or uncomfortable for them, and other people, like, can't shake your hand, you know, and these things that I was raised with, you know, it's rude to not look at somebody in the eye, and it's rude to not shake their hand, you know, so having that, if that is uncomfortable for somebody, what could they, and right now, especially with the things that we're going through in our world with COVID, you know, like the touching thing, it was so funny. I went to a meeting and, you know, it's like, oh, I'd shake your hand, but I can't anymore. You know, it's what somebody said to me. I was like, oh, no, I totally get it. But right now, that might be a little bit different than the norm. But what are some of the things that people could say if those things were uncomfortable for them that would just kind of, again, that going back to that piece of communication that you were talking about earlier, how do you communicate that to somebody else?
You know, this sounds like really crazy, and it took me a while to start to get this. I actually tell people I'm autistic. I will say, like, you might not know this, but I'm autistic. And when people start to see that autism is like this huge spectrum, and most of us are there somewhere on the autism spectrum disorder, we're there somewhere. So making eye contact, for me, that making eye contact, it doesn't show up that way. But for others, it might show up. So for that person, empowering them to know that they can say, I'm sorry, please don't be offended that I'm not looking at you. I'm actually autistic. And the other person views this highly functioning adult, for example, you know, in the workforce. So it's that education, like, what does that word mean?
Right.
So starting to educate and being willing to, like, that takes all the wrongness out of it. Like, I'm, you know, a highly recognized school teacher and highly functioning and all of those things. And then I say, well, actually, I'm on the autism spectrum. And they're going, like, what? You know, that could come in sensory things. So I started to see, the more that I saw that I was actually on that spectrum, the more I started to understand when one of my violin students couldn't get comfortable with mm-hmm. a shoulder rest because it didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas before it's like, you know, like, well, get over it. This is the way it's going to be. But for some of
right.
us, that sensory piece or even the cloth that goes between the shoulder rest and the chin, that it's really important. So I would teach my students, use your words. Use mm-hmm. your words. You can communicate this. And same with adults. So you can say, please don't be offended if I don't look you in the eye. And also mm-hmm. we can educate ourselves as we are on this call to know that
right.
just because someone doesn't look you in the eye doesn't mean that they're not getting what you're saying or that they're being rude.
Right. Right. And it really is kind of blowing the lid off of all the things we might have been told, or, you know, as we were growing up, or things that were rude or things that weren't rude. And what if it's not actually rude? And what if it's just, you know, what they, you know, and so that conversation about also blowing the lid off of what is autism? And I didn't really have much understanding about it before learning about the X-Men and different things like that. And I'm going, oh, wow, this is way more than I thought it was, you know, in the way that it is, it was portrayed. And I know that's really changing, but it was, you know, just so much was to the absolute extreme. And I didn't know, you know, even hearing the words autism spectrum, I didn't even really know what that was. And so getting myself way more educated and information about what it is and what really is ADD and ADHD and OCD and all those other things, I'm like, oh, gosh, I have some of that and I have some of that. And I,
yeah. Like, that's the
oh.
amazing part. When you actually start to look at this, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah. Like when,
yeah.
I've used this example, I think, before on the show, but like when my husband is a wonderful cook, and when he goes into the kitchen, you know, I'm like, I call it a Dan explosion. There's not an inch of the counter that isn't covered with something, or all the cupboards are open, or, you know, like, just that's how he creates. I used to get so mad about it. I'd be like, ah. And now it's just, I laugh because I realize now that that is simply how he creates. And he does not even see what he's doing. And he'll go later and clean up, or I'll go clean it. You know, I just come in and, you know, help out if I, you know, while he's doing it or after. But it's like, you know, I'm wasting all this time and energy getting mad at something that I can't change. It's how he is. So I can choose to get mad, or I can choose to, like, laugh about it, or what can I contribute to it? And, you know, so it's just, it's like a small example, but for me it was such a turning point for myself of not getting myself tied up in knots over things that, okay, so he creates differently. When I cook, I clean up after myself as I go along. Well, does that mean that I'm right and he's wrong? Or he's
yeah.
right and I'm wrong? It's like, no, we're just different in how we create. You know, it's like, oh. And it took, like, so much of the pressure and, you know, off when I just got rid of all of those expectations of it had to be this way, you know, my way or the highway. And I'm like, no,
yeah.
actually it doesn't.
Nice. It's actually really, this is really great marriage therapy. Like when we really drop the judgments and just look at everyone else creates in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take the wrongness away, we're different. Take the wrongness away, drop the judgments. It's like, okay, yeah. Dan explosion, I love it.
Dan explosion. And it's out here. It goes again. And, you know, it's like, okay, so because if you keep complaining, he's just going to be like, I'm not cooking anymore. It's like, well, wait a minute. I don't really want to create that.
No.
And I'm grateful that he enjoys it. And, you know, so how many, three-quarter projects does he have done around the house? And I'm like, oh, okay. All right, what could we actually maybe the other day I was like, would it be okay if maybe you started to get this paint stuff that needs to be finished in the kitchen, you know, and so just like, well, even learning how to navigate that as opposed to like, you need to finish this. Why isn't this done? Why are you starting another project when you have all these other projects that aren't done yet? You know, and so you're right. It is great. Like, for any relationship, how do you speak to something that might actually be frustrating you and in a way that they could hear you? So, yeah, he creates differently. Okay. And so then in that, what would be a contribution to him? And, you know, he's done 3/4 of it. And, like, in his world, he's like, on to the next thing. Okay.
And that's your boardroom, right? So it's not like
the
boardroom is not always like sitting around a table in a corporate world. I mean, we all have our boardrooms. So what questions are we going to ask, and how are we going to navigate these boardrooms now that we understand that we all create different and different is not wrong?
Right. And I love that question. It is. It's the boardroom of our life. No matter what relationship it is, whether your kids, your siblings, your spouse, your friends, like all of it, every one of us is different. Every single one of us. And, you know, it's like in the teenage years for me, and I know for a lot of people, it's like you're not supposed to be different. You want to be exactly like everybody else. And so then we start cutting off things about us that are our beautiful uniqueness. And so here we come with these conversations that say, hey, there's nothing wrong with you, and we are all different. And there truly, truly is this celebration and this freedom in that space of, you know, let's go, let's all be different. There's not one of us that is like the next one. And how boring would it be if we all were exactly the same?
Yeah, beautiful.
So true. When we're rounding out this topic, Mary, I can't believe how fast today is going by. And
wow.
I would just wonder, like, what parting, you know, words of wisdom for our listeners would you like to say that maybe you haven't had a chance to say yet?
Well, I would say it's more a summary of what I was saying, in that are we willing to let go of judging, see the difference, and then acknowledge that difference? And then acknowledge the gifts that go with that difference for ourselves, for others, for our students, for our parents, for the boardrooms, people in our boardrooms, you know, and what would that create when we start to ask those kinds of questions? And sometimes, like, you being in that space of no judgment for others, that may be the only time that someone experiences that. That someone knows what it's like not to be judged. That's such a gift.
You know, it really is. And we've woven that through our entire conversation today. And it truly is. If you think about somebody that you know, when you are in their presence, it is and they don't judge you for who you be. The things you've done, the things you haven't done, the words that come out of your mouth, your, you know, behaviors, none of it. And they embrace all of you for you. It is such a nurturing, healing, beautiful space to be in. And I wonder what more we can all be to be that for ourselves. Let's not forget ourselves in this conversation, guys, and for others.
Big sigh.
What? Yes, I know. It's like, you know, and it is, it's very relaxing. So, and then there's no fight there either. You don't have to fight to prove yourself or prove your point of view or any of that. So that it just relaxes your whole being. Mary,
and then there's nothing,
so
there's nothing to attach to. Oh, you're so welcome.
Yes,
it's just
an
amazing conversation, and I'm so grateful for the conversation.
I know, and you're right. It's just being yourself. And thank you for joining us today, Mary. I would love to have you back and explore more conversations. This was wonderful, and you guys. Celebrate you, celebrate your difference, your uniqueness, and all of your gifts. Thanks again, Mary.
You're so welcome.
Bye, everybody.
Bye for now.